The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed don't necessarily reflect those of NCIFM.
Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation. Bonjour, Anine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. We have another great show lined up for you. Today we focus on health, water, and how the two go hand in hand. Our guests for today know a great deal about both topics. Today we welcome longtime Chief of the Skowronton First Nation, Cameron Ketchaway, along with a knowledge keeper from Lake Manitoba First Nation, Mary Maytawashing. This promises to be an informative half hour. We are so glad you have chosen to spend time with us here on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. Today is World Water Day. It's a day dedicated to highlighting the necessity of water and the need to conserve it. It also serves as a reminder that water is a natural resource that is essential in our daily lives, vital part of our overall health and well-being. We have a pair of guests who I believe are ideal when it comes to talking about water and our health. Up first, the longtime Chief of Skowronton First Nation, Cameron Ketchaway. Chief Ketchaway, welcome to Fireside Chats.
Thank you, Grand Chief. It's an honor to be here at NCI to greet our NCI listeners right across Turtle Island.
Many of our listeners will know you, but for those who don't, please tell us a little bit about yourself and the leadership roles you have had in Skowronton First Nation.
First of all, I want to acknowledge my members of Skowronton First Nation for allowing me to take the lead, leading my home community of Skowronton. Been in leadership for going on 19 years, being a council member and then coming in as chief for Skowronton First Nation.
I mentioned in the introduction that we are talking about water and health today. When it comes to health and healthcare in our nations, we just wrapped up a very important two-day international gathering on this topic in Winnipeg. What are your takeaways from achieving reconciliation First Nations health gathering?
Coming together as partners in our health is very important. You know, the traumas that we all face, you know, listening to different speakers at the gathering, you know, was very beneficial for all our listeners that took part in the assembly. You know, health is crucial. You know, it's time we take over and take care of our people.
What priorities do you have for your nation of Skowronton coming out of the gathering?
You know, I think, you know, looking after our people through healing, you know, there's so much you know, the depression our people are facing, anxiety, you know, I think, you know, having programs, you know, to bring awareness, you know, I think we need more awareness in our communities to, you know, to share those, share stories together. You know, our people need those kind of interactions with each other.
Turning now to the topic of water. Your nation is surrounded by this rich natural resources, including Waterhen Lake and Lake Winnipegosis. Can you talk about the importance of the land and those bodies of water to your people?
You know, I always shared with my people that, you know, we don't need money. You know, our people are rich in our resources. You know, we're surrounded by the water, the water, the trees, you know, we have, you know, we eat off the land. We have everything, you know, in our resources right at home. And I, you know, I just want to thank the Creator for giving us a good land, you know, area for our people. You know, it's there's only one road in and one road out. There's no going through our community. It's called Skowronton. They name it Turning Point. That's, you know, we
One way in, one way out.
One way in, that's right.
Right on. So what are the challenges that you find with the land and the water area in your area? What are the challenges you get with water and the environment, the strains that you find, that you see?
You know, my late grandpa used to share, keep eating muskrats, you'll live to your 100 years old. But today, you don't even see any muskrats in our rivers, in our lakes. The water has been depleting every year. You know, you have sports fishermen that come into the community to fish. You know, the boats are the water is so low that you can't even bring any boats in or without hitting a rock or in our rivers. You know, it's I don't know where our water is going, but I mean, I know somebody's taking our water away from us. I don't know if it's hydro but you know, I think there has to be something done, study, because we're losing our water, and water is life.
I know your area is rich with natural resources. For someone who has never been to Skounen before, can you give us some ideas about what it's like?
Well, you know, our background, is very beautiful. You know, we have the five different animals in our community. You know, moose, elk, deer, bison, caribou. We're rich in our resources. The land based programs that are taking place. I want to commend our staff for taking our youth on the land. It's very important that they learn those aspects of living off the land, because you don't want them living at home under devices constantly. Our teachings, is very important today. Get our kids on the land, even to learn how to start a fire, to have a cookout, make tea. Our staff are doing a wonderful job for our youth, teaching them, even going out there and camping, setting up teepees, doing hides, trapping, skinning, wolves, and I want to commend them for taking our kids out there, because, for me, myself, growing up in a city myself, when I was young, I didn't have that opportunity. It's very great to show our youth today, and it's very important. I'm very proud to say that our JP program, our youth program with the school, it's very important, to see the young kids out there on the land.
Yeah, land-based teaching has been very, very important, I think, to really reconnect with our environment and understand the life that's out there, right? The life that and how we've come to be who we are, and learning about all that. So thank you for giving us some background on how things are going in Skounen First Nation. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? When did it all start, or how long has it been going? Is this done in the community, or is it done in the schools? Is the schools doing this, or is it a program outside the school?
We actually have a land-based program with the school. We also have a land-based program with the Jordan's Principal program. That they both interact and both come together. Just coming in unity to show the children, going on campouts and things like that. So, I'm very proud, like I said, of our teachers that are out there to show our children, living off the land, even if it's going out there camping, setting up, like I said, teepees, or, just even... we even have an elder out there that we do tapping of the trees and so on. Like, it's, we have a lot of, we're gifted, our community, with a lot of teachings and a lot, I feel bad for other communities that don't have what we have, trees. We have all our trees. We don't, allow any timber cutting or anything like that in our community. We're surrounded by the lakes and rivers, and just very commend, you know, I want to commend, you know, my community for, you know, for all the rich minerals we have, you know. With that, I say thank you, Grand Chief, for asking me those questions, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you've been great stewards of the land, you know, looking after it and really making sure that they're not just coming in there and developing and tearing your trees down. So it's great to hear that. Chief Catchway, it's always good to see you, and I want to thank you for coming into the studio to chat with me today on World Water Day. Is there anything else you'd like to share today?
I just want to say that, you know, it's an honor to work alongside with you, Grand Chief, and, you know, it's National Water Day. You know, I think it's time we protect our waters. You know, water is life, and it's a life giver, and I want to thank you all for listening in on NCI. It's a great honor to be here and to be your host.
Yeah, so thank you to all your listeners for coming and joining us today. Still to come, we speak to a Southern Water advocate and renowned knowledge keeper, Mary Mei Tueyashi. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats. Welcome back. I'm your host, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, and you are listening to Fireside Chats. In this part of the show, we continue on the topic of water and how it factors into the health of our First Nations and peoples. Joining me from Lake Manitoba First Nation is a strong, standing Golden Eagle woman, also known as Mary Mei Tueyashi. Mary is an Anishinaabe grandmother who leads traditional ceremonies. Her educational background is social work. Mary's professional career has been in the areas of substance misuses, corrections, child welfare, and education. She also heads up the Jordan's Principle program in her nation. Mary says her greatest learning has come from the traditional knowledge and wisdom holders with whom she has had the privilege of working with. When it comes to SCO gatherings, we often turn to Mary to lead us in ceremony, particularly when it comes to water. I'm delighted to say she joins us now in the studio. Mary Mei Tueyashi, welcome to Fireside Chats.
Thank you very much, Grand Chief Daniels, for the humbling introduction and welcome, and for the invitation for me to come and sit here and join you.
I touched on just a bit about you and who you are and what you do. Can you please tell us more about yourself?
Well, I'm a grandmother of 11 grandchildren. I have 3 children, and I've lived in Lake Manitoba First Nation all my life, and I've been involved in ceremony and with elders for a long, long time, and I've been very fortunate to be with them and to learn from them. So I'm really passionate about educating and working with people on our climate, on ceremony, on healing and wellness.
SCO turns to you to help lead us in ceremony and in much of the knowledge that we utilize. Like Chief Catchway, you were part of the recent International Health Gathering at the RBC Center. What did you take away from this event?
You know, I think one of the things that really resonated with me is that with respect to our treaties, that our treaties were signed with the Crown and done in ceremony, and those are sacred agreements. And it really reminded me of taking me back to our ancestors again, in how they believed in our ways, and that they knew what we would be facing today. So they were very careful and cautious about how we proceeded with things. But as well, you know, that just how we need to heal together, and that we need to work with our communities with respect to health and wellness. And, you know, you looking at the environment, our environment, and using our medicines, but also educating our own people and having them work in the health field.
What do you think should be our priorities going forward when it comes to healthcare delivery in our nations?
Again, it goes back to our ways and knowing those ways and teaching our young ones about the sacredness of life, that everything has life, that everything is sacred. And but as well, I think we really need to recruit our young people towards becoming nurses and doctors. You know, we have our own medicine people, and those are our nurses and doctors in our communities. And I'll just use an example. You know, my mother, she, I consider her a nurse or a doctor because it's something that was practiced by her, by women bringing their babies to my mom, and how she would help with teething. And she did a practice on, you know, cutting the gums. But for most people that don't understand those practices, view it as really barbaric. But really, those were the ways of our ancestors, our grandmothers. That was their way of keeping our children healthy and our communities healthy.
I had mentioned your connection to the lifeblood of Mother Earth, our water. Tell us about the significance of water and the role it plays in the health and in ceremony.
You know, I always remember the words of Elder Dave Kershane Jr. when he said, "It'll be the water that will unite us all." And again, you know, I'm really bothered by the spill, the sewage that's gone into the Red River, because it flows into Lake Winnipeg, which is one of our most threatened lakes. And it's a large lake, 230 million liters of raw sewage going into the Red River. Water is sacred. Water has life. It's the source to all life. And we need water to be clean. We need fresh drinking water. You know, many of our communities don't have fresh, clean water. And again, you know, going back to women as grandmothers, as women, you know, we are life carriers. We brought life into this world. Without women, we would not be here, which is the reason why, again, we have a direct connection to Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is the source of all life. She is the one that sustains all life with respect to, you know, the lifeblood. Those rivers are the veins of our Mother Earth, and, you know, all life is sacred, and we need to keep our waters clean. We can't continue to pollute the waters in the way that they are polluted, because we have to look after the future generations, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and the ones that are going to be born. We need to leave something clean, you know, behind for them, and make it as clean as it was many thousands of years ago.
You're a member of the Knowledge Keepers Circle of Turtle at the Turtle Lodge. The late Elder Dave Kershane had a message before he went on to the spirit world about water and the environment. Can you touch a little more on that message and how important it is for people to hear it?
Elder Dave Kershane, you know, he was very consistent in his message always with respect to the climate, our environment, and water. And, you know, it was always about keeping it clean, but as well, you know, understanding that, you know, that all life is sacred, and that, you know, because of what has been done to the land and to the earth, that, you know, we will suffer the consequences, because, again, it has spirit. Everything that is here, where we have been put on our earth, you know, we are all interconnected. We are all related. We are related to the animals. We are related to the plants, the medicines, the water. You know, we are all related, and we're relatives. And, you know, that's something that, again, that we need to really look at in a serious way, because, again, things are not good. They're polluted. And that's our role and responsibility, is that we have a role to speak for the land, to speak for those animals. The animals are telling us that, you know, that there's something wrong with the land, because even the animals are feeling it. So, again, you know, that's always what he spoke about, that that life was sacred. And we all really need to remember that. And behind our words and our voices, when we speak about those things, that, you know, we need to put action into our words, and because it's for the children, again, it's for our environment. We need a clean environment.
Thank you so much for that message. When it comes to all the issues and challenges that our nations are facing, where do you think water and the environment should be in terms of priority?
I think there needs to be a lot of public education, you know, speaking about water today. Today, my understanding is World Water Day, but for us as Indigenous people, Anishinaabe, Dakota, Innu, Dene, wherever we come from, we are all one nation, we are all relatives. We really need to talk about and not fear to talk about how important water is to all of us. But we need to involve everybody. We need to involve all our schools, our organizations, and our communities. You know, everybody that works in our communities, as well the community people, federal government, the provincial government. We need to include everybody. You know, I think, you know, the United Nations have talked about just, you know, about water, that we need to keep the water clean. And again, you know, that education, that somehow we have to get through and our voices need to be heard, that we need water, that water is threatened.
As today is World Water Day, what is your message, your final message to the listeners when it comes to this vital resource and how we need to take care of it?
Let's take care of the water. Let's teach about the water. Do our ceremonies that we need to do in our communities. Go by the water, offer our tobacco. Bring our elders together to help guide us in our communities, to lead us in a way of Minubimadasewin, a good life, and, you know, to view and honor our environment. Water is very important to our lives. We use water every single day, and it's a real, it's very sacred.
Mary Maitwe Osheng, it has been an honor to chat with you today. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Thank you very much, Grand Chief. It's been an honor to sit here with you.
And that's going to be it for this edition of Fireside Chats. Thank you to our listeners, our guests, Kate Kent, Al Foster, Melanie Ferris, and everyone else at SCO and NCI who have helped put this show together. If you have any questions or ideas on future episodes, you can send us an email at media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and to bringing you a new episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I'm SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels. Miigwech, Padamaye Do, for listening. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCI FM.